All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Apúrate que se acaban las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. Y como la Navidad ya se siente, ahorra $4 en luces LED de 100 bombillas en hilera GE. Ahora solo $5.98. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3, selección varía por tienda, solo en tiendas selectas, hasta agotar existencias, detalles en Lowe's.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to a brand new episode, a great episode, a handsome episode, a sensual episode of your favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast, Grey's Academy. We do the stuff where we love it, and you love it, too. You have your two favorite podcasters in the entire world. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey, and it is a beautiful night for a podcast.
And it is all those things. It is sensual. It is handsome.
And I'm so excited that we've gotten to this one.
Yes.
There was a time in like season one or two where I said something about, oh, this show gets some really big guest stars. And you were like, if they ever have any of the main people from Scrubs, I will be so excited. And I was like, hoo boy, can't wait for 3 years to go by until we can get there. And here we are. We've done it. We've gone to 3 years.
This is actually crazy because, so we did not plan this, but I recorded my reaction for this video. I was so fucking certain that this dad was going to come back and shoot someone that I was like, I have to record myself. And
no, I told you had to record this one. I said, I can't tell you why.
Did you really? I don't even remember this conversation. Maybe yeah, you accepted me.
I did say, I can't tell you why, but you have to record yourself watching this. And I was like, I honestly, other than Sarah Chalk being, is it Chalk or Chalky?
I believe it's pronounced Chalke.
Okay, but actually, do you know?
I think it's Chalk or okay. Chalky. I don't know, actually.
So, yeah, other than her being in it and, like, the plot line around her kid, I really didn't remember that much about this episode. So, like, when I watched it, I was like, thank God this is also just a good episode. Like, there's a lot of things that happen. And I was like, I told Carmen Ann to watch it, which with other episodes when I haven't really, like, I've been able to kind of be stealthy and be like, oh, why don't you do this? Why don't you do this? And to, like, get the recording. But I really couldn't. I was like, you just have to record yourself watching this one. So I was concerned that it was going to like throw you into like a weird mindset of being like, what's going to happen? But she shows up immediately. So I was like, well, hopefully once she shows up, you'll realize that's why I told you to watch it.
Yeah, I was so excited. It's all on camera.
I'm excited to see it.
It's going to be great to see all that. So, this episode, man. But I want you to know, genuinely, so convinced that it was going to be a murder. So convinced.
Yeah. I just have to tell him to watch it. But who knows what he's going to think that means.
Yeah. I don't even remember talking about the Scrubs characters. But I don't remember what her actual name in the episode is, but I kept referring to her, Casey, I kept referring to her as Dr. Elliot Reed in the recording video. And I'm like, there's one point, I know I'm jumping way ahead, but in the storyline when Meredith is like confirming that it's Kawasaki to Casey, I was like, my note was, how funny would it have been if she said, you should like maybe try to be a doctor and...
I was like, I did assume, I was like, oh, I bet he's going to call her Elliot the whole episode.
The whole, yeah, and she's then, just Elliot.
When she says, I'm not a doctor. I was like, aren't you though?
Yeah, you are. You are a doctor. Yeah. Before we get into the full thick of it, but man, well, Kelsey, thank you for giving me that joy and giving me that on screen. That moment is locked forever. We have it forever now.
Yay.
Okay. So I'm looking at our Apple. We got some shout outs, but let me first look at our Apple stuff really quick. A couple of weeks ago, the drinking game review. Was that a 4-star review or was it always a 2-star review?
I think it was always 2 stars.
Okay. So let's talk about this. What is she hiding? Was she always a 2-star review?
I think they were both 2 stars.
Okay. Okay. So here's the deal. Someone changed a 4-star review, or maybe they changed a 5-star review to a 2-star review. Somewhere someone has changed one of our reviews because I look and our 2-star reviews are the highest non-5-star review category now, which is crazy to me. But what's
honestly,
really insane,
it's crazy to leave a review that's not either 1 star or 5 stars to me. Yeah, that's just crazy. Yeah.
But the what is she hiding? So originally she wrote the I love this show with one caveat and then proceeds to leave a 2-star review. So first off, go fuck yourself, okay? Don't say I love this show and then leave a 2-star review. But she had originally said, does the female host always have a cold? Please go to an ENT. Not yes. great to be sniffling into the mic every single episode.
And I'll go to an ENT.
This what is she hiding character went back and added. Also, am offended that this guy hates The Cure. I have a name too.
Yeah.
Who is this guy? And also, The Cure is just okay. I don't hate them. You know who I hate? Trump. I don't hate The Cure.
Careful, they're going to arrest us.
You know who else I hate? ICE.
True.
The government is shut down. What are they going to do? They can't stop me.
Well, you say that now.
What are they hiding? Anyways, fucking
list.
Man. What is she hiding anyways? Like, just email us. At this point, also, where are you in the show?
I'm like, you don't like it. Turn it off. Like, why are you? It's fine if you don't like this podcast. I actually don't care because we have really great people who do like it. And it's like, not everything is for everybody. But like, if you don't like it, why turn it off? Like, I don't understand why you're leaving the thing bitching about me, continuing to listen, and then going back and now also bitching about Carmen.
Yeah.
Like, I just, also, I could, you know, if reasonably, I could figure out where they are by title, whatever title song was by The Cure, but.
That's funny. That is really funny. You know what also is crazy? Remember back when our biggest nemesis was Clara, and she gave us a 3-star review? And she was, like, honestly, she just hated the banter.
Yeah.
People are attacking things that are mean. Actually, Clara, we love you. Come back. What is she hiding in Rella K 1098? You can go suck it, okay? Every time someone says, well, that's fun, have a drink. Fuck you. Don't have fun. You're dumb. And what is she
delightful.
Hiding? Anyways, you got some shout outs. Let's do a shout out thing. Let's have some fun.
Yes. We've actually gotten several emails lately, so I wanted to shout out.
Hell yeah.
Allie from New Jersey, Martha from Seattle, Joe from Orlando. We have a new Patreon. I don't know what their name is because the name attached to it is MMHHMMHH345. So I apologize. I don't know your name, but I did invite them to the Discord. So hopefully they'll be on Discord.
Love it. Can you tell me anything about these emails? You said that there were some emails out there that that exist apparently.
Yes.
That...
Well, there's, I mean, we get emails often, but I can't always share them. A lot of times when people email me, they're talking a bit more about the show in the future. And I can't share all of these either because they do have spoilies in them. But Allie specifically was writing that she really enjoys the podcast. She's our age, so she's been watching it like since it's been on TV. But she did have to step away in the later seasons, as have most people. But
you know who won't get that luxury? Me.
Also me. So she did say she had a hard time getting through she almost gave up on the podcast because she loves Derek. And my hatred for him is so intense. And she does say that she sees some of the points that I make about his flaws, but I simply hate him a little too much. But she also recognizes that it is my right to do so. And I appreciate that, Allie. And I do like your awareness that he does have flaws, at least. And she does say that when he is good, I do typically give him credit. So, which I do try.
Hey, Allie, make sure you give us a 5-star review. We need all the help we can get.
And then the other one was Martha from Seattle, who was essentially talking about like the location for the hospital. Because mostly I think we talk about it when I say like, where is this hospital? In the concept of why are they hitting these golf balls off, and people are like, oh, they're supposed to be hitting them into Puget Sound, and I'm like, I don't care, they could still kill people. Anyways, so she said that it's not an actual hospital, but there's Como, KOMO Plaza is widely considered the location of the hospital, which they have used the helipad on top of that building for the helicopter shots in the pilot episode. And it's a local ABC affiliate channel, and it's right next to the Space Needle and the Seattle Center, which is the heart of downtown Seattle. And then she said it's less clear and basically made up where Derek's land is and the dream house is.
That's pretty cool stuff, actually.
Yeah. You'll like this. They sort of insinuate it's a ferry ride to the hospital from the land, which also doesn't really exist. If it's on an island with a ferry ride, it would probably be Bainbridge Island or Vashon Island. I don't know. Though the commute with the ferry would be pretty difficult for a surgeon, often taking hours with ferry lines during peak times. But the view is filmed locally at, you're going to die, Poo-Poo Point.
Poo-Poo Point.
Is the actual name, which is in Issaquah, about half an hour drive from Seattle.
I love that.
So, yeah. Oh, and she also, okay, this part I can read. In response to the guy that you thought was going to come back and shoot everybody. I was thinking this time watching Shane and then Derek with the aggressive patient. Employees at hospitals have to go through a ton of training. One common for many hospitals is any sort of de-escalation / safety to prevent violence. Even being a non-patient facing employee, I had to take basic training with videos and a refresher every year. There are also in-person trainings done at my hospital, I'm assuming for staff that are more likely to deal with angry people and are more likely to utilize this training, like the ER staff. Training included awareness on how to approach physically people to de-escalate, as well as keep exits open if you need to escape, and how to verbally approach heightened people to diffuse and more effectively avoid violence. My hospital and many also employ zero tolerance policies for harassment, as they should, and violence from patients and visitors. So it wouldn't even be my choice to press charges if something were to happen. It was glaringly obvious that both Shane and Derek did not show any signs of using these skills with this angry dad. So yeah.
Yeah, they really didn't, did they? It's okay.
And I know, I actually have noticed this at our pediatrician's office. They have like a sign in the lobby that's like, we will not tolerate verbal or physical harassment, and we will like not see your children anymore if you are a bad person. Essentially, they say it differently, but it's a bummer that that has to be posted and should just be assumed, but okay.
Yeah, it is crazy. Even in this day and age, people forgetting that like it is not like, you're not entitled to anything, whether it's service, the, you know, the right to shop somewhere, the right to get food somewhere. Just, like, don't be an asshole. Like, be kind. Also, I feel like because of, just really quick, I'm going to pivot here, because of our string of negative feedback about Kelsey sniffling, I should explain to you all that I'm still sick. I'm still dying. I actually went 10 days straight breaking out in hives every single day, went to the doctor on Monday, and they're like, yeah, you could be allergic to something, but it could also be viral. So let's go ahead and treat for both. So they got me on these intense steroids and antibiotics because apparently steroids weaken your immune system. So antibiotics are helping me not die, which is great. But like, man, these steroids really dysregulated my entire like body temperature. I was like, actually, we were like interviewing a doctor candidate after I went in late, and we're sitting at dinner, and I'm just like beating sweat everywhere. I'm like, every chance I could, I'm like hiding my head in my, my t-shirt shoulder, trying to like wipe down. But anyways, hopefully I'm starting to get better. I don't want to die anymore. Still got a lot of, you know,
got a lot of life to live, a
lot of life to live, but I got a lot of phlegm to give still, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of phlegm in there. But anyways, I wanted to make sure I said that before I forgot all of that. Kelsey, do you have any more or emails to read or emails to share, shout outs for that? Anything?
No.
Damn. Really hoping. I love the email stuff, you know? Brings me joy.
It's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Should we do an episode or something? Yeah. Oh, I do want to shout out.
Okay.
Really quick. I just want to shout out our dear friend, Christian. She's been doing a lot of work with the Facebook, and just has like a lot of fun, like send me some like really long messages, and just love the energy that she constantly brings. So she just messaged me right now about some of the predictions that she's going back and like re-listening to, and about how I said this when Denny died, and I said Izzy's gonna like open a clinic or something, like the Denny Duquette Heart Center, and she's like, wow, that was literally so fucking close.
Yeah.
So just like stuff like that brings me joy, because I don't remember saying any of this shit I say. I just fucking shoot from the hip.
He's just running his mouth fucking constantly.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. This episode, dum ba da dum bum bum bum.
Well, that's fun.
The 19th episode of the 9th season. It is episode 191 overall. It is called Can't Fight This Feeling, and that is a song.
Can't Fight This Feeling is a song by REO Speedwagon. More like REO Speedwagon D's Nuts, am I right? No.
What? What does that even mean? Explain why you think that's funny. That's right, he can't do it. Hold men accountable when they make bad jokes.
Wagon. Wagon these nuts.
What?
Speed wagon. Speed wagon these nuts. REO.
You can continue.
Wagon these
just so
nuts.
You know, the motions you're doing aren't helping or making it funnier. Please continue with your speech.
Can't Fight This Feeling is a song by REO Speedwagon, written by lead singer Kevin Cronin, and this song was from the album Wheels Are Turning. This was one of the singles off of the album. The singles, there were three. I Do Want to Know, Can't Fight This Feeling, and One Lonely Night. Nope, stop. That's not what I wanted to do. Don't click on that link. This song did very well.
It's a very good song.
It's a very good song. This podcast stands REO Speedwagon more than the fucking Cure. What is she hiding? This reached number top 100 in Australia, Canada, Germany, Ireland, Luxembourg, New Zealand, South Africa, Sweden, the UK, and it reached as high as, drumroll please, number one. Number one on the US Billboard Hot 100. Let's just for fun, I want to look to see how the album did. Wheels Are Turning. Charted. Let's see. Okay. It reached the top 100 in Australia, Canada, Sweden, and then it hit number 7 on the US Billboard 200. So yeah, that album did pretty darn good. REO Speedwagons is good. So I'm going to give this song, it was already in my iTunes library, I'm going to give it subjectively a 4.5, objectively also a 4.5. So there's a couple REO Speedwagon songs that are better, and that's okay. So with that, wait, what's your favorite REO Speedwagon song?
Probably this one.
Oh, okay. Got it.
What's yours?
I think Roll With The Changes. Mm. Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, I think so. All right. Let's do the thing where we actually talk about Grays for once in our life, maybe.
Okay. This episode was written by Meg Marinus, directed by Mark Jackson, aired March 28th, 2013, to 9.02 million viewers. And the Netflix synopsis is, a gas tanker explodes on a highway, resulting in multiple injuries. Joe and Meredith try to help a frantic woman whose child has a mysterious illness. Actually,
you know what's crazy?
Terrible synopsis.
Yeah, it's a pretty good one. You know what? You know what's also crazy, though? So, you said the person's name is Mark Jackson?
Uh-huh.
And we have a character named Mark who died, mm-hmm. and a character named Jackson who lived.
So true.
I think that's where they pulled these names. You think they just were looking around in the room and said, what's a good name for a character, Mark? Actually, we're going to run with that. And they looked around later on and said, we got to introduce this new guy.
A couple episodes ago, say Mark Dane instead of either Mark Sloan or Eric Dane. I did say Mark Dane at some point.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Apparently, you almost said Gray Sloan.
So many times. So many times.
Who was it that actually had a specific one called out and like gave us a reference? I think it was in the Patreon somewhere, but I'm like, I was so oblivious. I don't know at all.
Yeah. Thank God.
And shout out to Janisha, because now I get to see that picture that she took with mm-hmm. the Gray Sloan Memorial. Looking fine, girl. Looking good. Let's post that picture everywhere. You look great. But for real, I got to get a Gray Sloan Memorial shirt now. I got to get something.
I'll allow it. But although I don't want you to do that, because I do fear then strangers will just come up and talk to you about Grey's Anatomy and like assume that you're up to date, and they'll come up and like just spoil it.
Well, actually, so that almost happened at work today.
Oh dear God.
But like also not. This was crazy. This visiting person from Rhode Island or Maryland, somewhere in the Northeast, she had said something about like, oh man, it's so crazy. It's like, imagine like if it was Grey's Anatomy and all the drama. And I was like, well, hold on, let's be calm here, because I can't have any spoilies. And she's like, where I live, I don't actually get Wi-Fi. I just have a DVD player and people gift me seasons of the show. That's so amazing. I have like 1, 3 and like 9. And I'm like, okay, so you don't know anything that happens in between. And I'm like, you've got to get some internet so you could listen to this podcast.
She could have downloaded it while she was in your office.
I you know, she could have. I don't even know if she has a phone. I think she has a beeper, a pager, and she's also still using a BlackBerry, so it's fine. I don't know.
Honestly, that doesn't sound terrible some of the time. Some of the time I'd be on the internet and I'm like, ugh, these people. Am I right?
Yeah. Am I right?
These people on the internet.
Like you wanna throw a BlackBerry at their face?
I'm gonna throw a lot of stuff.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Okay. Yep. So, what do you think?
Let's start with I don't know. Like, how about I want you to know.
Yeah.
All I wanted to just say was D's nuts.
Oh my God, I hate this man.
I'm just so. But that's why I had a brain fart, because I'm like, I can't think of anything actually to say, because all I want to say is this joke. Let's start with Dr. Elliot Reed and her storyline and how incredible she is.
Okay. So the reason they did this storyline is because her child in real life has Kawasaki's disease. And whoa! I don't know if she approached them or they approached her, but she did say when she was on that she wanted to do like a storyline to bring awareness to this disease because it's like very rare. She obviously she went through something similar, not like identical, but similar, where she was really having to advocate for her child because it was just like very hard to diagnose. So also Alicia made Kawasaki disease our teaching hospital. This is a teaching hospital. Damn it. So we are going to go over Kawasaki disease. It is a condition that causes inflammation in the walls of the blood vessels. Late stages of the disease may also inflame larger vessels, as well as lymph nodes, skin, and mucous membranes lining the mouth and other organs. Day 10 is significant because fever begins to resolve and skin peeling starts on the hands and feet. The medication is most effective during the first 10 days as well. So,
The crazy thing about this storyline, and also I think now that you mention it, I'm sure Kawasaki disease is used in other Scrubs. Shows because of its is it used in Scrubs?
Oh, I was asking. I thought that's what you were gonna say.
I was gonna say Scrubs or House.
I'm sure that definitely seems like something that would be in House because it's a rare disease that's hard to diagnose, and that's the plot of that show.
Yeah.
So it does feel like it would be something that would be in House for sure. I wasn't sure if it was in Scrubs or not.
I maybe it is. I also don't want to Google Sarah Chalk on this episode to like read an article about it because I don't want any spoilers for anything else.
Yeah, I'll see if I can find one and just send it to you. And then Google. Google for you.
No Google for me. So this episode starts with Meredith kind of having this mommy premonition. Mm-hmm. Her and Derek are about to smush.
They're
and she's like,
smoochies.
You can't smush me because Zola's awake. And Derek's like, the fuck would you? No, she's not awake. Boom, Zola's awake. Meredith knew. So the whole kind of that plot line is connected because it's all about your instincts. It's all about that motherly, that feeling, the Peter tingle, the mommy tingle, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. The Spidey.
The Spidey senses. And I like that they kind of gave a full range of emotion because you go in there, Joe is like...
Not a great episode for Joe.
No, Joe had a rough episode. I was just so busy loving Dr. Elliot Reed that honestly... Mm-hmm. Dr. Joe Suckface could just like whatever go somewhere else. Her and Chesting Picklebottom could just like fucking jump off a creek, whatever. Jump off
the old the old saying.
You know how jump you know off how a they creek. Say, make like a tree and jump off a creek. You know what I mean?
They do be saying that.
Do be. And yeah, so Joe's like, I guess I could go help out with this incredibly insane tanker rollover or help this mom with her kid. She says it's strapped. They do a rapid test and then it just goes downhill from there, Kelsey.
Yeah. So they, well, again, okay. So two things. First of all, in my memory of this episode, like I said, I remember her being this episode and I remember her being like, you know, really persistent and like fighting person. Thought it was a 2-episode arc. Really, in my head, this happened over the course of 2 episodes. Don't know why, but it was like 2 episodes. Like the episode ended and they didn't know what was wrong with her kid. And then in the next episode, they figured it out. I don't know why. That's what I thought until very recently.
I think that this
recently.
Episode deserved this. This is, excuse me, hiccup, podcast hiccup. This deserved a 2-episode arc, honestly.
Yeah, a lot of it, I don't know, like truly because when we started season 9, I knew it was in this season. So I like went on her IMDb to look up which episode it was. And when it said just 1 episode, I was like, well, that's not right. I was like convinced that I was like, this was
imagine,
2 episodes.
Imagine it really was a 2-episode arc, but they recast her in the second half of the arc. Just another, as actually another character from Scrubs just playing her with a blonde wig.
JD comes in.
Zach Braff. Yeah.
Yeah. So in my memory also, that was like later in the episode, that's like a reveal. It's like, oh, look at this cameo we got. So I definitely didn't remember it being like within the first 2 minutes that she's there. So yeah, this tanker, like they've gotten this trauma page or this mass casualty page, essentially. And it's the tanker has like flipped over and caused a big traffic problem. There's a car wreck and the tanker, but not exploded yet. And so everyone's going in, and Casey is her name, Dr. Elliot Reed. Spencer Reed, Casey. And she flags down Joe and she's like, hey, we were here the other night and you gave us medicine for my son and he still has a fever and it's like not getting any better. And I just like, this is not normal for him, all this stuff. And she's like, okay, let me get the chart and take a look at it. Appropriate response. And then, so there's a lot of back and forth and like, she is saying, she's like, I know that like, I'm not a doctor, but like, this isn't normal. This isn't my kid. This is normally like all this stuff, which I feel like is very a millennial thing. And also sometimes a mom thing or not a mom thing, sorry, a female thing where there's like an instinct to apologize for like giving any pushback, which is something, I mean, like there is a fine line. Obviously you don't want to just like barrel into a place and like scream at people that they're wrong all the time. But like there is a way to advocate for yourself. I don't feel like you necessarily need to apologize if you're advocating for yourself and your child, especially she's not being a dick. Like she's being polite about it. She's being pretty kind.
Yeah.
So anyways, there's a lot of back and forth and they, Meredith is involved initially and then Joe comes over. She's like, oh, good news. Like, it's strep. They came back. Here's a prescription for amoxicillin. Classic pink bubblegum amoxicillin. The best medication when we were a kid. Am I right?
Man, absolutely not.
What?
I don't like bubblegum flavored things.
I don't normally either, but like that shit slaps. I mean, I don't know if it does anymore. I don't get it. They give it now. They give it to you in there. It's a pill because grownups.
Mm, yeah.
So she's like, amazing, great, leaves, comes back. She's like, he's getting worse. There's a rash. Like it's all terrible. And, then she mentions like, oh, I was at this other hospital and this urgent, like the walk-in clinic or urgent care, whatever it was. And just like, you've been to all those places. Let me get another doctor, because she screams, get me another doctor. And she's like, oh, I'll get another doctor. And it's psych. And this man, you know, could not be more condescending. I'm like, this guy is bad at being a psychologist.
Yeah, this guy sucks. I like do not, of all the cases that we have a psych call. I had the
same thought.
Like, what the fuck?
Of all the times we should have called psych, this was not it, Joe.
Yeah, she really can suck it. And you know what else can suck it? But honestly,
capitalism.
Capitalism. Yeah, let's do a suck at capitalism break. Suck at capitalism. Okay, stop sucking it. You're thank you. We're back. Okay.
Okay. So yeah, I was like, I also super did not remember her calling psych. My jaw was like agape. When he was like, is it just you at home? I was like, oh, I do not remember her calling psych. This is not the move, Joe. I would be setting somebody on fire if someone did this to me and my kid was that sick. So, she's again upset. Meredith is in the ER when she's yelling at everybody.
Yes.
And she, comes over and she's like, I believe you. Admit this kid. We're going to deal with it. Like, I believe you. I know, like, I know what it is to have these feelings and like, I believe you and I can do whatever I want because I own this hospital, which she later on basically says verbatim.
That scene was so... like literally when she says I own the hospital, I could do whatever the fuck I want with my tests. And I'm like, okay, damn yeah. girl, swinging that yeah. dick around, Meredith. I like it.
Hell yeah. So they admit him. She's like, these are all the things keep coming back clear. Like, I'm really not sure what else to tell you. And Casey says, you know, I read all this different stuff and I wrote it down. And Meredith's like, okay, yeah, let's go through all these options. You know, maybe one of these will be, you know, will like jog something in my brain or whatever. So they go through it. She's like, well, it's not lupus. It's not, I forget what other thing she said.
They said, but, was it not meningitis?
No, she does. You're right. She does say meningitis. She's like, the spinal tap was clear, so it's not meningitis. It's not lupus because of whatever reason it's not lupus for. And then she's like, oh, it probably isn't Kawasaki because there would be a rash and also he wouldn't have this strep test. So they're like kind of at a loss. They're like, okay, let's just keep doing more tests. And then
I really like that scene because it actually was like a very old school house scene, like mm-hmm. where they're going through the differentials and they're like trying to talk through things. I really like that scene a lot. And not very often do I go through a scene and I'm like, oh, you know, like that was like really kind of cool. Like I really enjoyed whatever they were doing here. So I like that because you don't really get a lot of off, like, you know, the doctors are smart, but like mm-hmm. talking through internal medicine like that, yeah. It's just like cool to see. So great, great scene all around.
Yeah. And I like that she hears her out. Like when she's like, yeah. Oh, she doesn't just blow her off like, oh, Dr. Google, which I will say, like, it is a problem for some people. And it's one thing to be like, oh, you know, I've read about these things online and I'm, you know, wondering if that could be applicable versus, well, I saw this online and I know it always happens and I am now more than a doctor. You know what I mean? Like, there is obviously a difference. And I have said to doctors before, like, I've seen X, Y, and Z online and I apologize because I'm sure you hate to hear that when people say that. But like also as a parent, it's hard because as an adult, you've like developed the skills to verbalize all everything you're feeling and like telling people. And as a kid, like, you know, maybe their stomach also hurts, but they're not mentioning that. Or like maybe they have a headache, but they're not mentioning that because that's not like the main issue. And so you don't know. You're just kind of like right now, like I have an infant, like everything she does, I'm like guessing, you know, obviously it's educated guesses. Like you use context clues, but I'm like everything with an infant, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope I'm right. I hope she's hungry because I'm going to feed her.
You know, here's the other thing, though. I think
she's teething because she's putting her hand in her mouth and drooling everywhere 24/7.
When I was at the doctor's office, though, like, I think I've gotten a little bit more comfortable. Also, I should preface this. I never go to the doctor. Like, it has to be, it was 10 days of hives before I went to the doctor. Okay, folks? I don't do that. But when I Googled and I used ChatGPT, forgive me, folks, I did both to see if, you know, if hives can be part of a sinus infection. And yes, they could. The doctor also, what they did, and it was actually, it's kind of funny. It felt like almost like a Pegasus situation, but with like, she was actually very kind. She was listening. Yeah. She was taking notes, but she typed up all her notes. She gave me her estimated diagnosis, mm-hmm. and then she put the notes into the AI program that they have at the hospital, at the doctor's office, whatever, and basically said the exact same thing. So she actually did the medicine, gave me her thoughts, and then used the AI medical tool to double check her work. I thought that was pretty cool, and that's kind of what I think could have happened here, because like Dr. Elliot Reed is sitting there looking up the medicine, doing the internet research, and it could have been right. I know we don't like Dr. Google people, but I don't know. I thought it was a cool scene.
I mean, ultimately, one of the things she read was right. Like she did.
Yeah, she did it.
One of them was correct.
So it's just a cool time where technology is actually being able to be used for good.
Yeah, and
that was just kind of my point.
When AI is used correctly, I do feel like it is helpful and good. Yeah. AI for the general public is both bad for the earth and also is garbage.
yeah,
and is killing both of our brains and our planet. So
yeah,
just stop is the moral of the story. Anyways, so yes, they do another test and then like more things come back negative and what the heck? There's an Oreo crumb in my lap.
Nice.
I was eating Oreos.
Eat it.
And so she's about to discharge Parker because they just cannot find anything wrong with this kid. And Meredith feels bad about it because she's like, I believe this woman. Like, I don't want to just send her home and like just hope for the best because like, what if the worst happens? So she has the discharge paper and she says to Joe, okay, you know, like before I discharge him, I want to just go through this one more time. So like, let's run it back. And so they go through everything and Joe's like, wait, we tested him for strep again and it's negative. Yesterday's was a false positive. And Meredith is like, oh, fucking shit. And she's like, are his eyes red? And she's like, oh, I don't know. He was asleep the last time I checked him. So she's like, it's been 10 days since his fever started. Like, we're so fucked if we don't get in there right now. So they run in and they check his eyes.
What's crazy about that, just really quick, yeah, they're red. The kid's eyes are open a lot in this episode. How no one looked this kid in the eye at any point?
Well, is beyond I'm thinking me. It was like that is like one of the late stage symptoms is the red eyes.
Oh, okay. Okay. That would make sense. That makes sense.
Because, and they do show him like he is very, during a lot of the episode, like lethargic. So his eye, it would make sense that he is kind of just like sleeping and like not really fully awake, but I do think that the red eyes are a later stage symptom.
Okay, so that makes in. Way more That's sense. But is. I was like, they "What the fuck, guys? How do we not?" This felt like a check the airways situation. Like,
yeah,
easy.
They gotta, you know, run in. They gotta start all of this treatment so that he doesn't like have heart damage. There was fluid around his heart, but they were able to repair that, and then he just has to have another like follow up in 6 months to make sure everything's good. It's crazy. It's wild. I really like knowing that they did this storyline at her request to bring awareness to this illness and just like the concept of like how hard it is to get diagnoses with rare diseases and the like. I really like that one of the things she suggests as the mom ended up being the solution. I just think that was like
That's
a really
cool. Yeah.
cool way to like honor her and like honor the journey that she went on with her own kid.
And I think it's also just one last thing to call back to. Never once was she threatening. Mm-mm. Never once was she mean. Violent. It was firm. It was caring. It was serious. And I think that to Sarah Schalke, however it's actually pronounced, really acted awesome in this episode. Yeah.
It did stress me out a little bit from like a parenting perspective, to be honest. There's a lot of this show I haven't like rewatched since having kids. And like, it's just stressful. Also, when people are like, trust your mom instinct, I'm like, I don't feel like I have that because I've been blessed by the gift of chronic anxiety. So like my kids sneeze and I'm like, oop, pneumonia.
Yep.
Like it's just hard to be like, is this something different or is this my anxiety? Because I always assume the worst. I really like my pediatrician. She's very kind. She spends a lot of time with us, patients, and she's like, always remember, like if I go in with one kid, she always asks me about the others. And she's very sweet. And there was like a whole thing with Wyatt just constantly spitting up like more than the other two. That's the other thing is like with babies and kids in general, they're like, every kid is different. And I'm like, okay, but like to what extent? Because like I've done this twice and this is so different. Like, is it a problem or is it just like whatever? And so it's just like weird. There's just weird things as a parent that you kind of have to like sort through. And so having a good pediatrician and a pediatrician you feel like you can call or talk to or email or reach out to without them, you know, eye rolling and judging and like brushing you off is a great privilege for sure.
Yeah.
But when we were going through trying to figure out like if there was an allergy with her spit up or if it was like something else going on, like she needed to do a swallow study. I just started writing down like every behavior this infant was having anywhere related to the time she was eating and the like whatever was happening around the vomit. And it was like the most insane things. I was like, she will breathe like this. And when she's upright, she'll breathe like this. And when she lays down, she breathes like this. And then like sometimes when she spits up her, and I was like, this sounds insane. And I told her, I was like, this sounds insane. Her eyebrows change colors, like not the hair, but like the skin under her eyebrows, not her eyes would get red, like the skin specifically under her eye. It was bizarre. But I felt, when I told her, I was like, okay, I've been like writing a bunch of stuff down just like as I've been observing her. And she was like, oh, that's great. Like, please read it all out to me. And like wrote down everything I told her. I was like, I just felt very like heard and seen in that moment. And it was nice.
Yeah, it's funny because the way that we deal with advocating for our children is how it sounds every day when I'm at work listening to parents advocating for their pets.
Right. That's so true because they can't speak either.
Yeah. And it's like, it's funny because this guy came in today and he's like, I don't know how to explain it, but my dog, when we're walking outside, it sounds like he's snoring, but he's awake and we're walking and we're like, all right, let's check it out. Turns out it was cancer. But, you know, it's, you know, like that's the extreme, but, you know, when you know something is wrong, you know, something is wrong as a parent.
Well, it's like,
for a
again,
human
when
or
she's
a
like,
pet
I know my kid, like personality wise. Right. Like, yeah. I'm sure you've had this with Marlo, but like when the kids have been really sick, like with the flu or like a really bad congestion or whatever, and they're not eating a lot and you offer them something that's like, you know they're going to eat it, right? Like, yeah, I gave you potato chips for breakfast because you haven't eaten in a day and a half and you need something in your stomach.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've had something with that where it's like, yeah, all you want's a pickle? Great. Have a 6 a.m. pickle. I don't care.
Seriously. Like, whatever. Like, just get some fucking nourishment in your body.
Yeah. So, like, just that. And that definitely applies to pets, too. Like, it's like, you know the personality. And if all of a sudden they're not like necessarily doing anything that's like alarming, but they're a completely different animal. Like, yeah, then that I do feel like that's, you again, you know the personality. So there's probably something going on.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's crazy.
I could talk about this topic all day and I know you can too. Let's talk a little bit about, just very briefly, there's while all of this is going on in the hospital, there's a little bit of a Cali storyline that's taking place.
Yeah.
And I'll also say as a little asterisk, a Bailey storyline. So Bailey's been doing the genome mapping. Mm-hmm. It's going really well. Everyone's kind of treating it kind of like the Lodox from last week. They're like,
yeah,
let's use this new toy. Map my genomes, Bailey. Weber thinks he's going to get breast cancer. Mm-hmm. Very funny. Which, to be clear, breast cancer is not funny, and men can get breast cancer. Weber thinking he's going to get breast cancer,
specifically,
it's just a funny storyline.
All of his fears, like that's the one he lists, is funny.
Yes. So Callie got invited to do a TED Talk, which amazing. The last time we heard about a TED Talk in this show was from Russell, who he can kick a rock. It's fine.
He can kick several.
He can kick several rocks. And there's a funny throwaway line where she's talking about the TED Talks. She comes in and she's like, I really hope none of these cases are surgical. And she walks in and she's like, yeah, they're all fucking surgical. Of course, this isn't my luck. And the guy's like, oh, no way. You're going to do TED Talk? My roommate did tequila shots with Bill Gates last year. I need someone to confirm if this is actually what TED Talks are like, because that's crazy.
Well, I mean, because I guess it would depend on where you're staying, right? Like, if you're in a hotel and everyone else is also staying in that hotel and those, like, you know, if Bill Gates is there and he decides, you know what, let's go down to the bar. Why not?
Oh, I'm going to the bar.
This is a before time when people weren't, you know, just, like, heinously aggressive for no reason to absolutely everybody in the whole wide world.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, maybe he would do that. Maybe they're down there.
I believe it. And then, like, obviously, so many things take place, but I'm skipping ahead kind of to the end because this is a smaller storyline, but Callie decides that she's not going to go to the TED conference.
Right.
And Arizona is like, oh, you know, that sucks. But on the bright side,
You can make your speech not shitty.
Exactly. And honestly, there's a moment where Callie's like, I'm sorry, what? And Arizona's like, I don't know what you said. I said nothing. I gotta go. I have a surgery. And Callie's like, no, it's fine, bitch. This is exactly what I needed.
At least now I feel better about not going.
Yeah, so that was pretty insane. She makes up for it.
I'm like, if you have heard this speech as many times as you say you have heard it, there would have been a time and a way to do this. And that was not it.
No.
Like,
no,
if
not
someone,
at all.
Like, you don't have to say that speech is bad, but you can say, like, oh, maybe, you know, talk about this or like relate it back to your life in this way. Like, it's just simply like not hard to give constructive, positive feedback to your partner.
Yeah. Someone who you've been through so much with.
Yeah.
I love the resolution on this, though, because, well, also in that same scene, Arizona was like, it's just, I don't know, it doesn't like inspire, and you're such an inspiring person. And Weber's like, I heard a TED talk about algae and now I live life to the fullest. And I'm like, Weber, what the fuck are you doing, bro? Get your breasts checked out with Bailey. Like, get out of here. But they come together, Weber and Arizona. They set up a live conference where she gets to stream her TED talk, and it's really cool. I'm very proud.
She speaks from the heart
of our fictional character, Callie Torres.
Yeah.
Really proud of her.
I like the resolution as well. I mean, we've got the lore is there of like, oh, Callie doesn't like speaking in public. Like, right, we have this lore. It exists from previous episodes. So I do like get the nervousness aspect, but again, like, I just feel as though maybe she also could have run it by someone else. Like, it feels like it's at this point, it's kind of strange, you know, I'll shade Derek all day, but like, it is strange that he wouldn't have been invited to a TED talk. Because he's done, like, they had that brain tumor thing where they were, like, saving lives, you know, before Meredith fucked up with the other clinical trial. Anyways, maybe there would have been other people that she would have worked with that she could speak with. But, yeah, she just speaks from the heart, and she relates it all back to life, and it's real, and it's, you know, cartilage.
The binding of life. You know, it is also, imagine being the people on the other side of that TED talk.
Mm-hmm.
Because she starts it with like, man, what a year, right? Like, I was in a car crash, it almost killed me.
Crazy that it's only been
less than a calendar year, and that child is gigantic. So that's
like a 3-year-old. So
I was gonna say that's a 3-year-old. That's a 3-year-old child. This kid, something is in the water in Seattle. I was gonna say Seattle Grace, but it's not even that anymore. But when she says, and then my wife suffered a crash that almost took her life, and it did take the life of my best friend and father of my child, my thought went to, what are the people taking notes at TED going, I'm sorry, what did she, this is a doctor, an esteemed orthopedic surgeon. This sounds dramatic. What's happening here? Yeah. I immediately want to be like, I have questions not related to cartilage anymore. But from what I saw, she did really well. And I'm led to believe that she crushed it and she did a great TED talk.
Yeah.
So. Calliope.
Yeah, a little positive ending on that one. And then also at the very beginning, when Arizona's like being supportive and she's like, picture everybody in their underpants. And then she's like, picture me in my underpants. Mm.
Yeah. Little Happy Gilmore strip teacher action.
Did you watch the second one?
I'm sorry. It's Billy Madison, I meant to say. Okay. But I did watch the second Happy Gilmore the day it came out. Yes.
Oh, that's right. We talked about this. Michael just watched it the other day. And he was like, oh my God, you'll never guess who's in this. And I was like, Travis Kelce. And he was like, how do you know that? And I was like, how did you not know that?
Yeah.
And obviously I knew that. Like.
Yeah. There's like, so. Guess who's not in this movie? Like, there's so many cameos.
I was like, Michael, did you see who's playing the Super Bowl? And he was like, no. And I said, Bad Bunny. And he was like, who's that? And I was like, okay, Grandpa. And I was like, I know we don't listen to like a lot of rap music, but like, he's a very, very famous artist. Like, it's fine that we don't listen to it, but like, you should know who that is. And then I showed him a picture and he was like, that's an actor. And I was like, no, Michael, this is Bad Bunny, a very famous rapper from Puerto Rico. And he was like, no, that's a comedic actor. And I said, no, it's not. And then I get on his IMDb. Of course, the first fucking thing that comes up is Happy Gilmore. And I was like, oh, did he have a cameo in the Happy Gilmore sequel? And he was like, no, he had like a main part in it. And I was like, I don't know, Michael. Everything else is just his music videos. Like, I don't know why he is also in Happy Gilmore too. Maybe Adam Sandler likes his music. I don't know. But he is a very famous rapper.
That's really funny. I love Michael for that. That's
he's just so not on the internet in those same ways that I am. Like, I'm on such the pop culture internet, and he's just like on like what's happening in Russia and Ukraine internet. And I'm like,
love it.
At the end of the day, we come together and I'm like, this is what's happened in the pop culture and Hollywood. And he's like, this is what's happened in the world. And sometimes he's like, I'm not going to tell you today because it's going to stress you out. And I'm like, cool.
Yeah. It's that bad, huh?
Yeah,
I actually did not know who Bad Bunny was until in the movie. I'm like just sitting there dying laughing, and Jess is like, man, Bad Bunny's doing a great job. And I was like, I don't see a single rabbit in this shot here.
Yeah. Michael. Yeah. When he was like, wait, cause I said, oh, it's Bad Bunny. And he was like, who's Bad Bunny? I was like, it's a very famous rapper. And he was like, and then he said something about like, why would they have a woman and not have Taylor Swift? And I was like, Bad Bunny is not a woman. He was What do you mean? Bad Bunny's not a woman.
Like, she's a bad bunny, like a Playboy bunny. I don't know if he was thinking
like Playboy bunny or like,
yeah,
there was that crazy girl, Bab Baby a while ago. I don't know who, he just is. I was like,
wasn't that the Cash Me Outside girl? Yes. Wasn't that Bad Baby? Oh, yeah.
Embarrassing, but yes.
So, let's, I don't know. 5 minutes is not enough time. Less than 5 minutes is not enough time to start a new topic. We could just talk a little bit longer in the next episode. I feel like we still have a lot, fucking lot to talk about.
Yeah, basically all the tanker shit.
Yep, all the tanker shit. Let's do the tanker shit.
Yes, we should do it after everyone's favorite segment.